Thank you all for joining the very first Devroom of the day. 9 a.m. is extremely early. For everyone who's out late last night, thank you especially for showing up. We're going to get started in about 3 minutes. My name is Sean Bohand. I work for the Linux Foundation. This is not a Linux Foundation Devroom. This is the Digital Wallets and Verifiable Credentials Devroom at FOSDEM. I'm incredibly honored. I have to be careful. I like to tap, and I can't do that with a mic on. I'm incredibly honored that I got to be the Devroom manager for this. I got to work with the amazing presenters who are going to be here today. These are not Linux Foundation or Open Wallet Foundation projects, but they are part of the identity ecosystem, which we're a part of, and we're just absolutely psyched that these folks are going to be here and share their knowledge. Some of them are still on their way. I've gotten a couple of text messages. I'm in a cab. No worries, because I've got the first 30 minutes. It's happened to me too. But before we start, so today I'm just going to do a welcome, super high-level broad overview of the Open Wallet Foundation. The next team from NetCompany is going to talk about utilizing EUDI wallet ecosystems in your legacy systems. At 10 o'clock, we need disposable digital identities for a more secure and resilient digital society. And that is Rob, Lorna, Friedger, and Andrea from ForkBomb/Dyn. After that, we have Jesse. Are current standards enough towards verifiable credentials with expressive zero-knowledge query? After that, Amir is going to join us. He's going to talk about DarkFi, zero-knowledge cryptography for anonymous uncensored organizations. Then, at 11:30, TrustChain, Trustworthy Decentralized Public Key Infrastructure with Tim, Pamela, and Sam. At 12, we have sample implementation of OpenID for verifiable presentation over Bluetooth Low Energy. I would like to apologize to all. I'm a giant nerd. I'm very excited about that one just because we have a project that works with BLE and it's cool. And lastly, we're going to have folks, Vangelis and Connor. Connor's from the European Commission talking about challenges for wallets and digital trust services following the EUDI Wallet Architecture Reference Framework. You'll hear folks today probably call the ARF. That's the Architecture Reference Framework. Three-letter acronyms are our favorite thing in the world. All right. How today's going to run? I'm going to try to keep my comments to 15, 20 minutes. This way the next team can come up and get set up and it's nice and even. We would love it if you could give a 15, 20-minute presentation and leave time for questions. I have found the presentations are going to be awesome, but the questions actually make them even better. So by all means, if we please set aside time at the end of your session to do some Q&A. Also, if you have a burning question and the session ends and you really want to talk to that person, take them out into the hallway. This is a really small room. The acoustics are pretty good for a classroom, but we're also mic'd, so we don't want some crosstalk. It's going to hurt folks on the stream or in the video recording from later. And lastly, remember back in the day at a conference, we take a picture of the whole crowd? I'm not doing that. And I'm not doing that because I don't want anyone to get facially recognized by some platform 10 years from now. Unacceptable, not doing that. I would take a picture from the back, but I can't get back there. So, my name is Sean Bohan. I work at the Linux Foundation. I'm the community architect at the Open Wallet Foundation. The Open Wallet Foundation, I believe, we turned 2 in March or April of this year. This is not, as I mentioned before, an Open Wallet Foundation room. This is a FOSDEM room for digital wallets and verifiable credentials. This is about the ecosystem. It's not about us. I am incredibly lucky and honored to be able to be the DevRoom manager for this. I hope to do it again next year. This is my first FOSDEM. It's been pretty amazing. So, wallets are essential for digitizing our society, and they're already in broad use. Anyone who's taken a flight has been offered by, you know, the airline, like, hey, do you want your boarding pass sent to your Apple wallet or your Google wallet, et cetera? They're used for payments. They're used for, you know, higher value credentials. We're seeing a lot of work right now in certain countries around mobile driver's licenses. And that's really differential. Like, identity is an ecosystem, but what's happening in Europe is very different than what's happening in Canada. It's very different than the US or Australia or India, for example. I get to see all of these things, which is pretty cool. But also the differences are what also make it really cool. And then wallets are becoming a cornerstone of digital infrastructure in our societies. I can't say everybody has a phone in their pocket. We do have a digital divide still. I started working on the internet 30 years ago. It still exists. There are folks who are not connected. We need to look at ways to support them as well. And that's something that we consider, we keep in the back of our mind. not just for people. I have a cousin who will not own a phone, will not own a mobile phone. He has a phone in his house. He's a great person. He's just, no. We need to be, make sure he's able to access all these, all this infrastructure, as well as folks who are on their 6th, 7th, or 8th iPhone. There are also numerous use cases, whether it's a refugee use case, whether it's a disaster use case. We just had massive fires in California where people literally lost everything, down to whatever paper was in their pocket that they ran out of the house with is all they have left. How do they restore their identity life, digital or otherwise? So these are not topics that are sort of like, oh, it's nerd stuff. This is affecting everybody. And then digital wallets and verifiable credentials. So it's a pretty, oh, is that fit? It's a, I just realized I'm blocking the screen, I apologize. It's a somewhat simple model. We should not have to go back to the, identity issuer every time we want to show that credential. I should not have to have Wi-Fi at the airport to show pass. I might not be in a region with cell service and I need to pull up my mobile driver's license. All of these things are sort of at the core of this. And really it's the issuer and the verifier, but the user is at the center of this equation. And it's the user's device or cloud or hybrid of device and cloud that are making this transaction work. And then what are the benefits of verifiable credentials? How many people here have ever rented an apartment? Okay. How many of you handed over a folder of paperwork that could steal your identity 15 times over to a person who you know has the key to the apartment, but you really don't know if they're the owner of the apartment, but you're pretty sure they had the key, and I just give this to them and hope they approve my rental? That was my sort of rabbit hole, my gateway drug into this industry, as I went and got a new apartment, and 2 months later I joined an organization that contributed some software to the Linux Foundation. But verifiable credentials, so the end user gets more control, more privacy, more portability. In some identity spaces, I've described this as giving the user is taking new superpowers. With these verifiable credentials, they can create compound proofs. They can do lots of things with them that will give them new abilities, new capabilities, give them more scale in the transactions and digital life that they have. It's cheaper, it's faster, it's more secure, asterisk, depending upon what we're doing. And when transforming physical credentials into digital ones using verifiable credentials and a universal approach. Within my team, there are a lot of futures for verifiable credentials and wallets. One of those futures is one wallet to rule them all and in the darkness bind them. Hey, the Fork Bomb team's here. One wallet to rule them all and in the darkness bind them, right? I don't love that world. I don't love the fact that I have issues porting from Apple to Android. And I like Android. I have an Android phone at home. The other way, the other alternative, is every single relationship you have has its own wallet. And all of them are on a different upgrade schedule. And every time you really need them, there's no Wi-Fi and it hasn't updated and you can't show that credential. That is bad. Then there's also a middle ground, which some of my colleagues and I really believe in. It's going to kind of be like browsers. You've got a wallet for work. You've got a wallet for home stuff. You've got a wallet for your health care. I have a browser for work, and I have a browser for home stuff, and I have a browser for finance. None of them touch. I have never opened up a work thing on my home browser. They may be on the same computer, but I don't let those worlds collide or even get in touch with each other. So there are a lot of different ways to look at this technology and how they're going to work. And a couple of examples we put in here. The mobile driver's license is, again, as we said before, it's geographically spread. In the United States, there are a lot of states really interested in mobile driver's licenses, really interested in either getting pulled over or when you walk into an office building, bam, show your phone, and you've got an MDL there. It's ready to go. Welcome. Thank you. And also the EU Digital Identity Wallet, also called EUDI. We're going to refer to it as EUDI during today, and also the ARF I mentioned before. And so who are we? The Open Wallet Foundation. We're a neutral home for open source projects and the communities that build them. In the development of interoperable digital wallets. Interoperable is the most important thing for us. If we are building new silos, we have failed. If these things do not work cross-border, we have failed. But there will never be an open wallet. These are projects that people are building and contributing to and maintaining, and someone else is taking that code and building a wallet from it for a company, for a government, for a dog boarding place. So you can have a QR code that I can give to my neighbor to go get my dog because my train is late getting back from Foston. Those are all real use cases. Our goal in this is to help these communities build these projects. And I'll go in a little bit about governance in a second. And I am absolutely shocked that I'm only 8 minutes into this. I am super impressed with myself. I'm going to give you a dramatic reading of this. It's a consortium of companies and nonprofit orgs collaborating to drive global adoption. We do not do standards. Let me rephrase that. We do not do standards. We do code. We work with SDOs and standards bodies. We work with folks working with standards. Standards are part of our ecosystem, but we are actually working with the folks who are building the code. Secure and interoperable digital wallet solutions, as well as providing access and expertise and advice through our government advisory council. This slide is already dated. I will explain why in a second. You got a hand raised? Oh, no, sorry. We aim to set best practices for digital wallet technology through collaboration on standards-based OSS components, open source software, that issuers, wallet providers, and relying parties can use to bootstrap implementations that preserve user choice, security, and privacy. I mentioned before the renting an apartment idea. All of that could be handled with verifiable credentials. I get a credential from my bank saying that I'm a customer of the bank. I get another credential from my bank saying, oh, he's got a balance of X. Or, even better, a zero-knowledge proof that says, here's a predicate. His balance is more than Y. That's the world I want. I don't want anyone to know what my balance is. But these are things that we can help build. And then our technical community is 100% open, and it's led by a diverse group of contributors. Everything we do is in open source. All of our code is either Apache 2. We do have one or two projects using MIT. For IP concerns, which I am not a lawyer, I don't play one on TV, I'm not going to discuss because I don't have credible opinions here. We really don't work with GPL at all for IP protection purposes. But we support the communities that are building this software. And I'm going to go through a bunch of our projects in a second. But most important for us is this diverse group of contributors line. We have seen multiple times in different parts of the Linux Foundation, two people have an awesome project, and they're building it, and it's great. But they don't bring anybody else in, or they have a hard time finding contributors and other maintainers. And all of a sudden, somebody gets a root canal. And we have lost a maintainer for a project that other people are depending on. One of my good friends, Brian Bellendorf, who's here, I haven't seen him yet, I'll see him later, he's called this permissionless